Now turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. For those of you who may be new with us, we've been walking through the Gospel of Luke for over a year now. So we are starting today at verse 31, Luke 13, verse 31. I think I need to be turned down just a little. I'm hearing an echo of myself. That sounds better. All right, this is the word of God. It says, "At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.' And he said to them, 'Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you that you will not see me until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may your written word this morning point us to the living word, your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave up the throne of glory to become flesh and dwell among us. May Jesus be glorified this morning as our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. Amen. Perseverance. The steadfast spirit that doesn't quit despite facing roadblocks, difficulty, or delay of accomplishing a task. That is perseverance. And we applaud stories of perseverance. Henry Ford failed 5 times in business before finally founding Ford Motor Company. Thomas Edison famously said that he discovered 1,000 ways to not make a light bulb before he actually did. When J.K. Rowling was writing the first Harry Potter book, she was going through a divorce, living on government subsidies, and was rejected by 12 publishers. Big mistake. Now, for the cynics out there, I know there's many cynics out there, me included. You know that for every success story, there's thousands of failures. And for those failures, perseverance might not be quite as inspiring. I've mentioned despair.com before. It captures the futility of failed perseverance. Inspiring quotes like this: "Give up. At some point, hanging in there just makes you look like even a bigger loser." Or perseverance, the courage to ignore the obvious wisdom of turning back. Even Winnie the Pooh said, "People say nothing is impossible, but I do nothing every day." You know, you got to really think about that one, don't you? That's going to dwell with you for days, right? What was he getting at there? These quotes hit on a dark truth that perseverance is only applauded when someone succeeds. Well, perseverance is an important theme in our passage today. Last week we learned that Jesus set his eyes on Jerusalem. It will take 6 chapters in Luke until he arrives. And between now and then, Jesus must persevere through many challenges. And our passage today highlights some of what he is going to face. In verse 31, it says that some Pharisees told him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Now, I don't know about you, but a death threat is probably a serious challenge you might have gone through. But even more challenging here is that this warning comes from the Pharisees, a group of people that cannot be trusted. And so as this news hits Jesus and his followers, how should they take it? Is it true? Is it false? Why are they warning him? What if it's a trick? And all these questions are surely going through the disciples' heads and troubling them. Herod ruled over Galilee, where Jesus was at this point. And so the likely escape route that they are encouraging Jesus to take is south towards Jerusalem. Now, to his disciples and followers, that probably wasn't a real option. If Herod was after him in Galilee, a even stronger resistance awaited them in Jerusalem. In the book of John, once Jesus made it to Jerusalem, he barely escapes being stoned, and he and the disciples flee across the Jordan River. One of the great challenges of perseverance is often you face multiple obstacles, and that leads to difficult decisions. Now, some of us are good at making decisions. Some of us struggle. I imagine a few of you struggled this morning deciding what to wear to church. And many of you will find it difficult to figure out where to eat after church. Easy decisions can paralyze us. Difficult decisions, even more so. And so to the disciples and those that are close to Jesus, they don't know what to do. But Jesus does. Jesus does. To him, it didn't matter what the Pharisees were trying to do. It doesn't matter if the leaders in Jerusalem are waiting for him. It didn't matter if Herod was involved in wanting to kill him or if it was just a lie. Jesus was going to Jerusalem, period. But that doesn't mean it wasn't a difficult road. It absolutely was. He must persevere, and he must bring his followers along as well. They don't know what lies ahead. This passage today is not about what the Pharisees or Herod or the leaders in Jerusalem were trying to do. This passage is about what Jesus is going to do. It is about the relentless, loving, steadfast determination of our Lord Jesus Christ to go to Jerusalem. It is about his perseverance to fulfill his purpose. Now, he's going to show us this in several different ways, and the first is through a fearless heart. Jesus responds to this threat in verse 32. He says, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow and the third day, until I finish my course. Nevertheless, I will go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.'" Jesus is unwavering. In their culture, to call someone a fox was an insult. A fox to them was a scavenger that picked on the supremely helpless. And Jesus calls Herod a fox. Now, they didn't have freedom of speech back in the day. Calling a leader like Herod that could result in some difficulties. But Jesus is fearless. He is unmoved by this threat. He's saying, "I'm going to keep doing me." That's what he's saying if it was today, he would say, I'm going to keep doing me. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to help those in need. My path is set. My purpose is clear. And my pace is not going to change. Now, I think Jesus is bold here to encourage his followers because they are likely afraid. He isn't afraid. Are you afraid? There are so many challenges that each one of us faces that scare us. We can be afraid of our past, where we've been hurt or betrayed. We can be afraid of our present. Maybe you are right now in the midst of really difficult trials and you are struggling to persevere. And we can be afraid of our future. All the what ifs scare us. Yet in the Bible, over and over, God says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. While all the power brokers are conspiring against Jesus, in John chapter 10, he says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and take it up again. Jesus is going to identify himself with the Old Testament prophets, God's chosen speakers that proclaimed God's judgment and his love and his commitment and his discipline towards Israel. And he reminds us that those prophets were all ignored, or worse, silenced. So in order to finish his course, he's going to follow their path. Now, Jesus also perseveres despite having a broken heart. In verse 34, he speaks directly to his people. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. Jesus mourns over Jerusalem, a place that holds a special spot in the heart of God. It's the home of David and Solomon, and yet their sin has broken the heart of our Savior. This is what we call a lament. If you read through the Psalms, there's several Psalms, a good number, that are called laments, where you are literally crying over a situation or circumstance. The path before Jesus is daunting. The terror of the cross is always with him, and every day that horror grows closer and closer, and it stirs his emotions. We have seen this in past chapters, and we will see it continue forward. We will see righteous anger in Jesus towards the leaders that led his people astray. We see sadness and mourning and even tears over the sin that has broken his people. He has empathy for those who suffer, and he has a relentless love to gather all of them under his wings. Jesus' heart is broken because his people are broken. The ultimate sign of their brokenness is that their house, the temple, the dwelling place of God. Jesus loves his house. We can remember that on another trip to Jerusalem, Jesus cleans it out. But now he says it is forsaken. Roughly 40 years after these words are spoken, the temple and the city of Jerusalem are utterly destroyed, wiped out. As the church would be exploding around their known world, the centerpiece of God's story of redemption is laid to waste. And so as Jesus mourns over Jerusalem right here, he knows what's going to become of it later. And it breaks his heart. And yet he perseveres. Jesus is our mother hen, and under his wings we are safe. Yet so often we peek out. Israel so often left the nest and chased after pleasure or power or riches. This is why Isaiah said that Jesus would be despised and rejected by man, that he would be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. Do we realize? Do we grasp the fact that Jesus went to the cross with a broken heart? He went to the cross with a broken heart. And on the cross, his body was broken. Jesus persevered through his and our broken hearts. Now, thankfully, the story doesn't end there. His story doesn't end there, and your story doesn't end there, and my story doesn't end there. In verse 35, he says, I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus rose from the grave. And when we proclaim Jesus as Lord, when we call him blessed, he gives us a blessed heart, a forgiven heart, a redeemed heart, a new heart. Isaiah continues in his prophecy. He says, he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. Not the Pharisees, not Herod, not the religious leaders in Jerusalem. Isaiah says, upon him was the punishment that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Jesus persevered, and we were redeemed. We were healed. We are at peace with God. And with our new heart, he also gives us this gift of perseverance. One of the great doctrines of our faith, what we call the perseverance of the saints. Paul writes in Philippians, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, what God starts, he intends to finish. R.C. Sproul prefers a different phrase here, and I actually like it myself. Instead of perseverance of the saints, let's look at it as preservation of the saints. Because this isn't something we do. It's something God does. The perseverance of Jesus results in the preservation of us. Our confidence in our preservation is not in our ability to persevere. Our confidence rests in the power of Christ who persevered. Paul writes that nothing separates us from the love of God, not death, nor life, nor Herod, nor the Pharisees. Nothing stands in the way of his relentless pursuit of the cross for us. There was a pastor in Atlanta many years ago. His name was Michael King. And he was exposed to the teachings of the great reformer Martin Luther. He was so impressed and so moved by him that he changed his name to Martin Luther King Sr. His son would change the world. But it wouldn't come without hardship or difficulty. Many people know of his great accomplishments, but very few know that Martin Luther King Jr. struggled mightily with depression his whole life. In fact, at the age of 12, after his grandmother died, he blamed himself and he jumped out of a second-story window. Historians believe that that wasn't his only attempted suicide. He struggled with depression throughout his life. He melted under extreme pressure of the civil rights movement, and he wallowed and admitted his own sins and vices that caused him great pain and struggle. He had a great dream, but he suffered through many nightmares. Jeremiah writes, "My heart is broken within me, all my bones shake." Martin Luther King Jr. wrote a paper about Jeremiah when he was 19 years old. And in it, he explores the isolation and public persecution that Jeremiah faced, noting the many verses like the one I just read gives the reader a window into the prophet's burden. This is what he wrote. Jeremiah, throughout all his doubts and difficulties, was able to be carried forward by the assurance that this business that he was called to was not his business, but God's business. And this truth alone supported him under any and all challenges he faced. When King was assassinated, the autopsy revealed that his heart was so damaged by stress, it looked like the heart of a 70-year-old. He was only 39. Richard Foster, great pastor in the past, wrote that we do things we can do, things like prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship. We do those things that we can do so that we can do the things we can't do so that we can love our enemies, forgive others, resist temptation, submit to the Lord's will, obey His commandments. We do the things we can do, like prayer and worship, so that we can do the things we can't do. Perseverance is definitely something to applaud, but as followers of Christ, when you and I face obstacles, when we face roadblocks, when we face stress, heartbreak, disappointment, do not lean on your own ability. Lean on Jesus. Only things that we can do, those things take us to Jesus. It's not your business. It's God's business. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He will persevere and we will be preserved. I don't know what everybody is going through today. I know many of you are going through difficult, challenging times. We must rely first on our Savior, the one who persevered. There are some things we can do and there are some things we can't. Depend on Jesus and you will be preserved. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come before your word today, we are moved by the lack of our ability and encouraged by your perseverance to come to earth, to become flesh, to dwell among us, to heal us, to challenge us, to be betrayed, to suffer and to die for us, so that we may live, so that we may be healed, so that we may be preserved. Lord, I pray that we will constantly move ourselves towards dependence on you, knowing that no situation we face is bigger than you. Nothing can separate us from the love of our God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.